my COVID experience is over with, at least for this bout, but I have no doubt it'll show up again. I think this is the fourth time that I've had it, and so trying to recover, as they tell me, I'm clear of COVID now, but there's residual cough, and that is causing a lot of issues for me. So I pray that you bear with me this morning, and we're going to do our very best to get through this without going into too much of a coughing fit. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, a passage that's a little bit long. I'm sure it's very familiar to all of you. It is a big part of the Christmas story, and so I would like to read this morning, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. Beginning Matthew 2, 1 through 16. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus saith it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them into Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. May God add to the reading of his scripture. So every year we celebrate Easter, and we have presents, and we have feasts, and we eat a lot, and we visit, and we have parties, and it is a very good time. And sometimes we think a little bit about the Jesus who was born that Christmas morning. I want us to dive into that a bit deeper this morning and kind of look at some of the background of what is going on with the Nativity, with a Christmas story. First of all, we've got to understand who this child is that was born on Christmas. Jesus is a member of the Holy Trinity, and as such, he existed from the very beginning of time. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And I would point out, in particular, the word "us" is used when referring to God. Let us create man in our image. So it wasn't just this singular God who created everything that is. God is a Trinity. composed of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He is all three, and all three are one. And I will not pretend to tell you that my simple mind can comprehend the Trinity of God. I just cannot do it. But God is a Trinity, and as such, Jesus being a part of that, Jesus, the child born in the manger, is God Himself. John 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Adam and Eve were created by God, Jesus being a part of that, and they were placed in the garden, and they lived a life in communion with God. They were able to talk with Him. I believe they were able to see Him. He walked in the garden, and they communicated with Him. They knew God. They were living in a very holy and spiritual state. And Adam and Eve committed sin, and when they committed sin, sin entered all of mankind, and sin changed things. It caused everything to have to be different. When Adam and Eve sinned, they willingly broke the relationship that they had with God, and they brought death onto themselves and onto all of humanity. You know, you see jokes and cartoons almost showing Adam or Eve and the apple, and we kind of looked at that almost fairy tale-like, but it is very serious business. When Adam and Eve committed sin, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't something they stumbled into and didn't know what they were doing. They knew very well that what they were doing was wrong, and that sin entered mankind, and when it did, it separated them and it separated all of humanity from God. God is a holy and righteous God, and He cannot and will not exist where there is sin. So because of that, they paid an enormous price, and their descendants, including you and I, continue to pay an enormous price. How big was the price? Well, Adam and Eve's children killed each other. If you remember, one killed the other one, and the one who was the murderer was sent into exile. They lost their family. That is a huge price, and it continued on down through the generations. Because of all of sin, all humanity was destined to suffer and deal with the reality of death. Jesus was born in Judea, in Bethlehem, and the plan from the beginning was that He would be our Savior, that He would be the one who would take away the sin of the world. When He was born in Bethlehem, He was born into a very wicked and evil world. When Adam and Eve committed sin and sin came into the world, it grew like a cancer. I think there is a lot of symbolism, a lot of similarity between sin and cancer. Cancer is a horrible disease, and it's one that has plagued humanity for centuries and we continue to deal with. And we all know that whenever cancer infects the body, it tends to grow, and it grows, and it becomes bigger, and it becomes bigger, and eventually it ends life. Cancer is one of those things that is in many ways a death sentence. Sin is the same way. When sin comes into life, it grows and it gets worse and it gets worse. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the wickedness of this world was on full display. Herod, the king mentioned in our scripture, was a Roman Jewish client king. Now, what that means is the way Romans conquered lands, conquered different nations, is they would allow a king or a ruler to be set up among the people. And that ruler then really answered to them, and his power was derived from Rome, and without the support of the Romans, he could do nothing. He was kind of a puppet king, and that's what Herod was. But Herod loved his strength, and he loved his power. He loved the prestige of who he was. Herod is credited with building the temple at Jerusalem larger than it had been since David. And he's also credited with trying to bring the Jewish state into a more cosmopolitan, if you will, kind of Roman type state. But he was drunk on power, and he felt like he could live forever and he could hold on to that power. So much so that when he heard a king had been born, he was determined to kill that king. And when he was stymied in his efforts to find Jesus alone, he said, go and kill all of the children in Bethlehem and all of the coast in that area from 2 years old and under. Can you imagine a place so wicked that a ruler would kill everyone under 2 years old? It might be something similar if there was a governor or some type of ruler, let's say in Plano or Dallas, and they were afraid they were going to lose control. And they said, listen, I want my soldiers to go to Grayson County, and I want you to kill every child 2 years old and under in Grayson County. The pain, the absolute wickedness of doing that, of literally going into people's houses and taking their children and putting them to the sword and killing them most of the time right in front of their parents. It was horrendous. The world, what Jesus came into, was very, very wicked. It wasn't a storybook place. It was an evil place. And you know what? It still is. There are people today, and there are forces today that would kill you and I and take everything we have without thinking twice about it if it would further their own power. This world is not somehow a better place, a storybook place. Sin and evil and wickedness is present every single day. All you've got to do is turn on the television or fire up the internet, and I promise you, you'll see it before very long. Becky and I sat out on our back porch very often, and we've gotten to where we look at Facebook or we look at some of the little videos, and you've all seen them, and we send them to each other. Innocent stuff. And every now and then, right in the middle of something like that, that is just very simple and very innocent, will pop up some of the worst filth you can imagine. This world is a wicked, wicked place. How bad? I understand there are more slaves in the world today than there were when Jesus was born. We have not gotten rid of slavery. It exists in a lot of parts of this world, and it is even worse. Child sex slavery and child sex trade is at a high in this country that is absolutely unbelievable, and many other countries. I went and watched the movie Sound of Freedom, and I don't think I were 10 minutes into it till I was about ready to cry. Not because I haven't seen violence and seen things like that, but because it's true. Children are snatched off the street and they are sold into slavery every single day around the world. We live in a wicked, wicked world. Sometimes we wonder, how long will this go on? How long must it stay? And we also wonder, at least I do, why can't we all just get along and be happy? It's the holidays, and I know we all have visions of having a very peaceful and happy holiday gathering, and everybody gets together, and it's just wonderful, and that's really not the way it works, is it? Does anybody out there have a perfect family? Any of you got just, I mean, the Charles Dickens, whatever, postcard picture. This is my family. They look like they're cut out of cream cheese and they're just perfect. Nobody ever does anything wrong. If you tell me yes, you're lying. You don't have a perfect family, and neither do I. And it seems like the holidays kind of highlight that, don't they? There is, you know, this and that, and there is trouble, and there is struggle, and sometimes we sit down and just say, you know, why can't we all just get along and be happy? It's because there is sin in this world, and that sin is still very, very active. Relationships are difficult to grow and maintain. Whether it's husband and wife, brother and sister, parents and children, or members of church, relationships are difficult to grow and to keep. None of us are perfect, and we will get offended by each other. I will promise you that if you're around me long enough, I will say or do something that you will take offense at. And I will say this from the bottom of my heart. I don't mean to do that. I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to do anything offensive. But the reality is we're all people, and we are all faulty, and we all will cause problems. But because of the child that was born in Bethlehem, we can live our lives within the will of God, and we can get along, and we can be happy. I think some people don't actually want to, but if you want to, you can be a happy person. How? Pray sincerely and regularly. And I mean this honestly. Pray this prayer sincerely and honestly and regularly. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, think about that. If we just stop with the Lord's Prayer right there, that is the attitude that I need to live with and that you need to live with. God, as honestly as I can be, I pray that your kingdom come and your will be done. In my life, your will be done. In my family, your will be done. In my church, at my job, at everything I do, if I will focus my life by saying and meaning, Father in heaven, I pray your will be done in everything that I deal with. If we will approach life that way, God will do his part. If we will do our part, and we will humble ourselves, and we will sincerely ask God forgiveness and that his will be done in our life, and then go out and actually do it, not just say it, but go out and try to do what we know God wants us to do. If you'll do that, you will be happy, and you can mend your relationships with your spouse, with your family, with everyone else. If we don't, it won't work. You know, because of Jesus, we have life. By the blood of Jesus, God forgives our sin, and through the grace of God, he allows us to live. John 1:1-2 says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 14:1-3 says, not let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This coming year is kind of a milestone, at least for my father's life. My dad was born 108 years ago this year. He lived 54 years, which means that about October of this year, he will have been dead exactly the amount of time he was alive. After that point, the amount of time that he was alive will be only a fraction of the time that has elapsed since he died. And every year that fraction will get smaller and smaller and smaller until everything about him will be completely lost in the abyss of time. And so it is for me, and so it is for you. We can go about our life, and we can struggle, and we can try to build an empire, and we can do this, and we can do that, and it will amount to absolutely nothing. I went to college at University of Texas at Dallas for a period of time, got a master's in accounting, or most of it. And I remember walking through the campus, there are busts, bronze busts of these men who donated large sums of money. They were the men that literally built that school. And these busts are everywhere. You walk through the campus, you see them all over the place. I can't tell you a single name. I don't have a clue who they are. But I'll tell you what they have become. Pigeons land on them and do their business, and so they're covered in pigeon droppings. Is that really, and I think that's kind of ironic, but it's symbolic. We go out and we struggle and we try and we're going to build something and they're going to put a bust up of us and it'll be around for 1,000 years. But really all it'll be is a place for the pigeons to relieve themselves. No one knows who those people are and no one cares. You and I will live our lives and we will die, and this world will forget us in a very short time. My father, as soon as my brother and sister and I are gone, there won't be anyone left that knew him. And a few decades after that, there won't be anyone who even knows his name. You might find it in a list or something, some government list or military records or something like that, but nobody knows who that is. He's gone. Life is short. It is hard. There is sin around. We have trouble with relationships. But because of this child that was born in Bethlehem of Judea, I can live forever. My life won't be lost, and my father's life won't be lost. My dad was a Christian man. He believed. He was a founding member of his church, and he was regularly involved in his church. He was a God-fearing Christian man, and because of Jesus Christ, when I close my eyes in death, I'll go over the other side and I will see him again. In my Father's house are many mansions. I believe because of Jesus, you and I can live above the sin, above the corruption, above the heartache and the hurt and the evil, and we will have victory even over death. So I ask you this morning, do you believe in the child that was born on Christmas morning? I mean, really, do you believe? Is it just a convenient fairy tale, or do you believe? See, if it's just a convenient fairy tale, then you'll live your life and you'll die and it'll be over. There'll be no more. If you believe, if you genuinely believe, you can have life everlasting. I want us to stand. Our musicians come. I want to all open the altars this morning. If you have any need that you need to pray about, come to the altar.